Hebrews chapter number 11, if you have your Bibles. Hebrews chapter number 11. Love, this chapter of the Bible has been referred to as Faith's Hall of Fame, or the Hall of Faith, or the Heroes of the Faith. And here in the 11th chapter of this letter to the Hebrews, the writer is describing how that God asks us and He requires of us to have faith to do mighty things for Him. He defines faith. We talked about Sunday evening before last, the word of faith, and how that the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds that were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of the things which do appear." And then last Sunday evening we talked about the witness of faith, and how that the Bible says of Abel, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. By it, being dead, he yet speaketh." And we went back into Genesis in chapter number 4, how that God had respect unto Abel's sacrifice, but unto Cain's sacrifice he didn't. You see that Cain, he brought the fruits of the ground. He brought the first fruits of the ground, and Abel brought the first fruits of the flock. Abel brought that as a picture of blood atonement, and Cain brought that as a work of his hands, as a picture of works, salvation. And if I could just take just a moment here this evening and reiterate myself, your church membership will not get you to heaven. Amen. Me being a preacher will not get me to heaven. Going and having church at the nursing home will not get me to heaven. Being baptized will not get me to heaven. Paying tithe will not get me to heaven, because the Bible is plain as day. It says, "All our righteousness are as filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord." The Bible says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He hath saved us." The only reason in here this evening, if you're saved by the grace of God, that you know Jesus and the pardon and forgiveness of sins, is because He came your way and showed you were a sinner, and you repented of that and believed the gospel and trusted Christ by faith. It's all about Jesus. Amen. And if we're going to live a victorious Christian life, it's going to have to be a life lived by faith. And the Hebrew writer, he explains all the way through chapter number 11 of all these people and all the great things that they did by faith for God. And next week, if you come next Sunday, we're going to talk about the work of faith. We're going to talk about the work of faith, and we're going to talk about the great work that Noah did for God in building that ark. But tonight I'd like to take just a few moments, and I'm not going to preach very long tonight, on verse number 5 in Hebrews chapter number 11, where the Bible says this: "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." I like that phrase that's mentioned right there in verse number 6, how the Bible says, "And he that cometh to God must believe that He is." I had a real fun time a few Sundays back preaching there out of Revelation chapter number 1, where that the Bible identifies John identifying Christ as God the Almighty, which is and which was and which is to come. I'm glad that He's still the God that is. Amen. The God that Enoch walked with and talked with way back in the book of Genesis is still the God of the universe today. He's still the sovereign God of heaven, and He still sits on His throne on high, and you and I can commune with that very God this evening. The Bible says of David, he says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, that the Son of Man should visit us him?" Who are we that God would want anything to do with us? Amen. Just fallen, wicked, helpless little creatures. But God loved us so very much, and He saw so much value in our love towards Him, that He sent His Son to die in our place on Calvary's cross. Amen. And by faith, we can believe that tonight and be saved by the good grace of God. But in Hebrews chapter number 11, when it speaks of this man Enoch, there's some very interesting things that I'd like to point out. And this morning we did more of an expository message, where that we went through the text and we broke it down and we looked through it. And tonight, if you'd grant me the liberty, I'd like to preach more of a topical text on this thought. Many a times when you hear the Bible preached or anything particularly mentioned of Enoch, it's talked about how that he walked with God. And that is the title for tonight's message: The Walk of Faith. The Bible tells us that Paul the Apostle told the Corinthian church, he said, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." See, the Bible allows for us through the eye of faith to see and to understand the things of the Scriptures in ways that the natural man cannot perceive. See, I believe there's a lot of good in this evangelistic zeal and this apologetic approach to the Scriptures, and I understand that, but I believe that these people, they find themselves in a dangerous place oftentimes because what they try to do is take a supernaturally inspired book by God and they try and rationalize it and fit it between the confines of the finite human mind. And what they're doing is they're taking faith totally out of the picture. They're trying to take the faith in God's Word and they're trying to replace it with human logic and human reason, although that same human logic and that same human reason has failed us time and time and time again and been proven futile, and yet the Bible has stood sure. Isaiah said, "The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the Word of the Lord shall stand forever." Amen. And in Hebrews chapter number 11, the Bible says of this faith, it says that we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. I'm glad that there is a good God in heaven, and through His mercy and through His grace and through the eye of faith, who has revealed to us the truths of His Scripture. And Enoch, this man who's mentioned by the Hebrew writer in chapter number 11, walked with God in such a way, and he had such a testimony that he pleased God, that God just took him out of the earth without him even having to die. Amen. That's significant. That is significant in the Bible. See, there's only two people in the Bible that happened to. The first was this man Enoch. The second was a man by the name of Elijah. He was a prophet of God. He's the God who came against the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and they made their altar and they cried out, and they ran around, the 450 or so of them. They ran around, they cried out to their God and they prayed, and their God wouldn't answer the fire with fire. And then Elijah preached a 20-word sermon and said a 63-word prayer, and fire came down from heaven and devoured that sacrifice on top of Mount Carmel, and the entire nation henceforth knew that the Lord God of Elijah was the God of the Scriptures. Amen. Amen. That happened to Elijah, and God answered with a chariot of fire through Elisha's account. What we see is that God took that man up into heaven without him seeing death. Yep. And there's a whole lot in the Scriptures about that man Elijah the Tishbite. And I love to learn about him, and I love to study about him. He was a very interesting man. And they talk about the Shunammite woman, and they talk about the widow of Zarephath, and they talk about how that he was at the brook of Cherith, and the ravens came around to feed him when he felt like he was going to starve to death, and the brook was going to run dry. God gave him water, and God gave him meat, and God supplied his need. I can just listen to preaching about Elijah and study about Elijah all day long, but there's not a whole lot in the Scriptures mentioned about this man by the name of Enoch. There's not a whole lot in the Scriptures. As a matter of fact, this is an Old Testament saint that we're talking about from the book of Genesis, and more is mentioned about Enoch in the New Testament than is mentioned in the Old Testament. See, if you discount the Old Testament, just like Brother Rob was saying, the Old Testament, there's so many great truths to God's Word in the Old Testament. We ought not to just discard it because it's the Hebrew Bible. It works in complete perfection and completing the Scriptures. Amen? One writer said this. He said that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. I've also heard it said that you cannot understand the New Testament without the Old Testament, and you can't explain the Old Testament without the New Testament. They work synergistically together to convey the truths of God to people just like you and I. And how is that? By faith. And Enoch, this man that we find in the Scriptures, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we're going to look at those instances in just a moment, but he's mentioned and he's recorded as having the testimony that he walked with God by faith, that he was obedient to God. And I want you to take your Bibles, go with me very quickly to Genesis chapter number 5. I just want to show you real quick what the Bible says of him. Genesis chapter number 5. In verse number 18, and the Bible says this of Enoch's father, "And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God." And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. That's an interesting statement made. He walked with God, and he was not. For God took him. Think about that for just a moment. We have these Old Testament saints. Brother Rob mentioned, I've mentioned Elijah the prophet, how that I love to study him, and he mentioned David, and you read the words of David, and you can really get a good feel for what it's like to have a close and personal relationship with God. But there's not a whole lot in the Old Testament that's told us about this man named Enoch. It told us of his son that was born, and it told us that he walked with God, and that one day he was not. God just took him. God just took him. Yeah. And in Hebrews chapter number 11, that small passage of Scripture that we find in Genesis chapter number 5, the earliest of the books penned by Moses, was so significant to this Hebrew writer that under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he found it suitable to put it right here in Hebrews chapter number 11 for New Testament Christians. And he has this to say about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated. That means he didn't die. He didn't see the grave. He didn't have to get... There was no funeral service for Enoch. He was just there one day, and then he wasn't. God took him. God raptured him, if you will, out of the earth. And the Bible says that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch pleased God. And there's not a whole lot said about Enoch. But let me tell you something, friend. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 5 says a whole lot right there. If I die and they were to lay me in the grave tomorrow and people weren't to talk about my preaching or my ministry or my this or my that, but all they were to say was that, man, he sure did please the Lord. He sure did love God. My friend, that would be enough for me. And that ought to be enough for you just to want to please the Lord with your life. He's worthy. You know, the Bible says that it is a reasonable service. It is a reasonable service to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, that we would die daily, that we would lay down our own aspirations, our own desires, our own wants, and we would just say, God, whatever it is, whatever you want me for, whatever it is that you have for me, that's what I want. Amen. That's walking by faith. That's walking with God. That's the testimony that Enoch had. And there's three things tonight I'd like to share with you just for a few moments and we'll get out of here, I promise. Three things that you have to have to walk by faith. Three things that you have to have to walk by faith. The first thing that you have to have is an alignment. Is an alignment. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean, you've got to be in the right direction. You've got to be in the right place. You've got to have your eyes focused on the right thing. When I was in, I know I don't look like it now, but when I was in high school, I used to be a sprinter in track and field. That's what I did. And what they do is they'd call out our heat, and we'd get out there, and we'd have the other people, and they'd start on the block, and I ran the 100-meter dash, so everybody started at the same place. And we'd have these metal contraptions, and you'd have to fix them back on your feet, and you'd have to get down your stance and your starting block, and you'd have to get ready. And when you heard that gun sound, you were supposed to gun it for that finish line. You're supposed to run as fast as you could. Now, how silly would it look if you were at one of those track meets and you saw those eight men line up across those lanes and one of them had their rigging completely backwards? I mean, completely faced the other way around. And they're sitting here looking this way and everybody else is looking that way. That's going to be that's going to be ridiculous, isn't it? And many a times I fear that Christians, that people, they jump into this thing and they say, you know, I want to live by faith. I want to live for God. I want to do the things for God. But they don't even have the alignment right. They're not even set in the same place. If we're going to walk by faith, we have to have an alignment. One of the newest things, I don't know why, some of the craziest stuff gets popular out there nowadays. My best friend, Pastor Chad Estep, I'll tell you what he likes to do. He likes to watch chiropractor videos. I don't understand that. But you go on YouTube and these videos, I mean, just people popping people's backs and working on people, I mean, they'll have 10 million views on them. And he likes to watch how that they'll take these people and they'll set these blocks on their shoulders and they'll turn their necks and they'll crack their necks and then they'll take their shoulders and they'll pull them back and they'll pop them and stuff like that. And he sent me one. He said, you need to watch it. He said, it's interesting. It's crazy what these people do. And he sent me a link to one of these videos and I watched it. It was an elderly woman and she came into this chiropractor and she was gimped up. I mean, she had one shoulder set higher than the other. She had one leg that was dragging behind her. Her hands were rolled up and crippled up, and she couldn't hardly move, and she was in so much pain. And that chiropractor said this to the camera. He said, what we're going to do today is we're going to have a total body alignment. So we're going to have a total body alignment. And he laid that old lady out on that table, and he put his hand on the back of her hip, and he grabbed her ankle, and he pulled it, and it popped her whole back. Then he took her shoulders and he turned them and he twisted them and he turned her neck. And then he took each of her fingers and all of her toes and all these things, and he began popping and cracking on this lady. And by the end of it, she sat up off of that table and she stretched Brother Larry, and she walked out of there like there was nothing ever even wrong. Why is that? Because there were some things out of place. There were some things that weren't where they shouldn't have been, and they were there and they were that way for a long time. See, she couldn't even hardly walk. And if we have things out of place in our lives spiritually, we cannot expect to walk by faith. Amen. We cannot expect to have that alignment. You think about your vehicles. Amen. When you take your car and you have an alignment, what is it you're doing? They're taking that axle and they're making sure that it sits at the same degree, the front axle as that rear axle, and all those things, and they swap the tires around so that your tires don't get lopsided. I mean, when you go to buy tires, Brother Tom, if you're going to put tires on your truck, you're not going to put a 35-inch mud tire on one side and a 29-inch tire on the other one. It's going to be out of alignment. It's going to be messed up. It's going to be all kinds of whacked out, and you're not going to be able to get anywhere like that. Many of God's people are not walking by faith because there is no alignment in their lives. The Hebrew writer also said this in chapter number 12, in the very next chapter. He says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Looking unto Jesus. You know the reason a lot of churches are as empty as they are nowadays? Is because people have taken their eyes off of Jesus. And I'll tell you what they do. They put their eyes on preachers. They put their eyes on preachers. They put their eyes on ministries. They put their eyes on all of the wrong things. You know the very middle verse in the Bible, you know what it says? It says it is better to trust in the Lord than in man. That's what the Bible says. My friend, if you came here tonight to get something from me, you came to the wrong place. I don't have anything in and of myself to offer anybody here. And listen to me, friend. I'm a person just like you, and sooner or later I can fail you just like anybody else can. I know me. That's why I say that. I know who I am. I know I can let you down. But I know Jesus too. And I know He's never let me down. Amen. And I know that the times in my life that I've tried to walk by faith and live a life that's pleasing to God, the times in my life that I've had my eyes fixed on Him, those are the times when my walk is strong. Amen. The Bible says, we had it right there. How many of you got a bulletin this morning? Right there on our bulletin, the fifth psalm, it says this, lead me, O Lord, in Thy righteousness because of mine enemies. He said, make Thy way straight before my face. I know here in Kentucky they like to keep horse farms and stuff, and they like to race those Arabian horses, and they have that big fancy Kentucky Derby and everything. And you watch that Kentucky Derby, and there's a common denominator amongst all of those animals that they're racing is they wear blinders. There were blinders on the sides of their head. And that's to keep them from getting distracted from what's going on next to them. It's to keep them to get distracted from all those thousands of people in the stand that are watching them, those horses that are racing right there that are catching up on their heels. And that horse, it only knows one thing. It's to get that jockey across that finish line. That's the only thing that horse knows. My pastor would always say this, it'd be real good for some Christians if we get some spiritual blinders on. And we get our eyes off of the world, and we get our eyes off of people, and we get our eyes off of each other, and get our eyes on Jesus. Amen. We have to have the right alignment if we're going to walk by faith. Don't get your focus on men. Don't get your focus on ministries. Get your focus on the Master. Amen. Not only do we have to have the right alignment if we're going to walk by faith, but this faith is not only going to come with an alignment, but it's going to come with an assignment. Amen. God never called anybody to sit on the sidelines, and that is the truth of the matter. You say, preacher, I can't do a whole lot. My body suffers. I'm ailed. My friend, if you can pray, you can do more than anything. That's the greatest work of all. Amen. That's the greatest work. I believe that is the toughest discipline in the Christian life, is truly to pray in the Spirit of God the way that God wants you to pray. Amen. I'm talking about pouring yourself out and investing yourself in prayer. That's the hardest discipline in a Christian life. I know it is for me, at least. But this Christian life, it's this walk of faith, if you will, not only does it require an alignment, but it requires an assignment. I want you to go with me very quickly to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, it's only one chapter. And Jude is exhorting these Christians. Jude is talking to these Christians and he's telling them, he says, listen to me. He said, things aren't going to be easy, amen? It wasn't a televangelist Joel Osteen type of sermon, okay? It wasn't anything you'd hear on TV from the Joy Boys. He said, listen, things are going to get hard. Things are going to get rough. And he said, I felt it needful for me to write of the common salvation. He was just going to write the gospel to them. But he said, I felt it needful to exhort you to service. He exhorts these people to service. He tells them to stand steadfastly, to stay strong in the faith. And he gives the example. He cites the example of Enoch here again in the New Testament. In verse number 14 in Jude, the Bible says this, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince them that they are ungodly among all of them, their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all of their hard speeches with ungodly sinners have spoken against them. God had a job for Enoch. God told Enoch, he said, listen, he said, I want you to preach that I'm coming, and when I'm coming back, I'm bringing my saints with me, and they better be ready. Amen. Listen to me. You go into Zechariah chapter number 14 and you read about the Lord Jesus Christ and when he comes back to this earth and that eastern sky is going to split and he's going to come through that valley of Megiddo. Brother Bill, I've stood there on the Mount of Olives and I've overlooked that valley and that cemetery that leads right up to that eastern gate, and I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is one day going to come through that eastern gate and he's going to sit down on the throne of David and he's going to rule and reign the way the Bible tells us of. But Enoch was given an assignment. Enoch was given a job from God to prophesy the things of God and to tell the things of God. The church of the living God today, the local New Testament church, the Crossroads Baptist Church here at 12701 U.S. Route 60, Canonsburg, Kentucky. That is our job here this evening, is to tell people about Jesus Christ. To tell them that hell's a real place, that hell's hot, that heaven's sweet, and that Jesus Christ alone can save and forgive them of their sins. We have an assignment. Amen. We ought not forget about the Great Commission. When Jesus left, he gave us one job. He said, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you. Is to win people to God and make disciples so that they can win people to God. The main thing is to keep the main thing, and the main thing is telling people about Jesus. That's why we go knock on doors. That's why we have the nursing home ministry. That's why we go out and try to reach people. That's why we go to the hospitals and visit people when they're sick, because we want them to know that God loves them. Amen? Amen. There's an assignment given to the church. Enoch had a job. You know, you go over there in Ephesians chapter 5. Well, I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but let me say this. Everybody has a job in the church.
Amen.
Everybody has a job in the church. And you take some time and go over there and read Ephesians chapter number 5. I'm not going to do it tonight. I'm not going to keep you here very long. But I want you to go over there and read that, how that Paul talked about. I heard a preacher preach last night. He said the number one tool of the devil is going to take down a church, he said, is murmuring. He said that murmuring in the wilderness when they came against Moses, when they came against the man of God, and they said, well, they got this job and I got this job. That's the same thing that Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 5 when he's talking to the church, when he says, well, why is the foot trying to do the job of the hand? Is the nose going to do the job of the ear? Is the eyes going to do the job of the mouth? See, all of us work together. The Bible says, every part which supplieth. It is a joint effort to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, that's the definition of a church. It is a local congregation, a called out assembly of born again, baptized believers assembled together for the carrying out of the gospel. That's what a church is.
Amen.
If wherever it is that you're going isn't doing that, then that's not a church. Simply put, from what the Bible says. God's given us an assignment, and if we're going to walk by faith, each and every single one of us has a job. There was a preacher years ago, he told me of a woman who was bedfast. She used to love to knock on doors. She used to love to tell people about Jesus. And she was bedfast, and not very many people knew her. The church only had about 40 people, and the entire community probably had 350 people. And Brother Larry, what this woman would do is she would find an address anywhere she could get it. I'm talking about on the television, from bill collectors, from sweepstakes that had come in the mail, anywhere she could get some sort of an address, she would get it, and she would write him a letter telling him about how God had saved her and how that God could save them, and she would put a gospel tract in it, and she would mail those letters all over the world. The preacher of that little church, it was his mama. When she died, they had a funeral there in town. And that preacher, he just decided to use the church sanctuary. He didn't figure very many people were going to show up. And about an hour before visitation even started, the parking lot was already full. Everything from beat-up trucks to Mercedes-Benz to military vehicles, everybody was there gathered in that town. And the mayor of that town, he was a member of that church, and he came to that preacher. He said, what's going on? He called him. He said, what's going on? He said, why is it? He said, why is it that so many people are in town? He said, we could have got some police presence. We could have got some escorts. He said, we could have got some if you'd have told us that somebody this important would have died. Whose funeral are you having today? He said, it's mom's funeral. So you might think to yourself, I can't do a whole lot. My assignment's minuscule. My assignment isn't great compared to what they do, or my ministry's not great compared to what they do. Listen to me, friend. If you've got a job in the eyes of God, it's a great big job. Amen?
Amen.
You might not feel like you're doing a whole lot. You might not feel like you're making a dent in eternity, but you'll never see on this side of eternity what kind of impact you've really made just by being faithful in the assignment that God has given you. If you're going to walk by faith, it's going to be a walk with an assignment. It's a walk with an alignment. It's a walk with an assignment. And last, but certainly not least, and I'll finish with this, it's a walk with an agreement. A walk with an agreement. Amos, the prophet, said this in the third chapter of Amos, in verse number 1. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore will I punish you for all your iniquities. And he asks them this question, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two people have fellowship if there's a quarrel, if there's an argument, if there's a dispute, if there's a fight? The answer is no. And Amos, he questions the people of God. He says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now let's remember the terminology that we find over in Genesis 4, not only in Genesis 4, but in the book of Jude and in the book of Hebrews, and then again in the book of Luke, if you'll read, and the Bible says that Enoch walked with God. You know what that tells me? If the Bible tells me that two can only walk together if they're agreed, and Enoch was walking with God, that tells me that Enoch and God had an agreement. Amen? Now it wasn't an agreement in such a sense that they had come to a conclusion together. That Enoch said, all right, God, these are my terms. What are yours? And God said, Enoch, this is what I want you to do. And they said, okay, I think we can work that out. That's not the way that God works. I've heard of people testifying, and I've even heard of preachers getting up in the pulpit, and they've talked about times they've prayed, and they've given God an ultimatum. And that, let me tell you something, friend. If you fear God, that scares me to death. I've heard of people saying, God, if you'll only do this for me, I'll be faithful. God, if you'll do this for me, I'll do that. My friend, that's not the way it works. God gives you grace. God gives you mercy. God lets you serve Him. God lets you work for Him. God lets you breathe His air and walk on His earth. And because of that good grace and mercy, He's worthy to He can ask anything He wants of us.
Amen.
Enoch, he walked with God. Two cannot walk together lest they be agreed. Ephesians chapter number 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now I know in today's day and age you might see some crazy things out there in this world, and I know there's some disrespectful kids out there, but you ought not to see too many children leading their parents. Amen? The parents are supposed to lead the child. The children are supposed to submit themselves to their elders, to their parents. And so God gives us this picture. Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost in Ephesians 5, gives us that picture. He says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. You know what that means? That means going where He goes. That means doing what He says. That means listening to Him when He puts a calling on our life and when He tells us what to do, and submitting ourselves and being obedient to Him. Amen? And walk in love as Christ hath also loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice unto God for a sweet-smelling savor. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Not a whole lot said about Enoch. You might die and go on into eternity, and there might not be a whole lot of people to have a lot to say. But my friend, listen to me. God's keeping a record.
Amen.
God sees every prayer you pray, every tear you shed, every time you pour your heart out to Him, every time you do something for His glory and for the love of God. It's not recorded what Enoch did other than just preaching righteousness. God gave him one assignment. He said, tell him I'm coming back. I'm bringing my saints with me. And Enoch, by faith, walked with God so closely that God rewarded Enoch and said, you know what? I'm going to take you home.
Amen.
The Bible teaches, Christian, that if we'll walk by faith and not by sight, if we'll listen to God, if we'll go against the grain, against the world, against society, against what everyone would tell us to do, and only listen and obey ourselves to God, there's rewards in heaven. There's rewards in heaven for it. I don't know about you, but I want to walk by faith.
Amen.
I want the Lord to look at my life and say, you know what? I was pleased with Him. He went where I wanted him to go. He did what I wanted him to do. If not another person in this world ever hears my name again, that's fine with me as long as God has me where He wants me.
Amen.
Gotta walk by faith. Gotta walk by faith. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I invite you to come to the altar this evening and get a hold of God. If you need to pray, if there's something that God's working on your heart about, I invite you to come up to this altar and pray. As folks come, I invite you, fellow Christian, let's pray for one another that God will help us to walk by faith. You might be in here this evening. You say, preacher, I believe what you preached tonight, but I don't even know if I've got my salvation settled. I don't even know if I die, if I'm going to heaven or hell. I have no idea where I'm going to spend eternity. Will there be one among us in here tonight that'd be honest? Let go of your pride. Let go of your fear. For once in your life, don't care about what the person next to you thinks. It's between you and God. And raise your hand and say, preacher, I don't know that I've ever been saved. I don't know that I've ever been saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I wonder if any'd raise their hand in here this evening and say, preacher, I want you to pray that God will help me to walk by faith, that God will help me to have a testimony that's pleasing to Him. Would you raise your hand? God bless those hands. God bless those hands. I'm going to begin singing on page number 81. If you want to join me, you can. But I'm going to sing just as I am. And if you need to come and pray, you come and pray. Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou biddest me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because Thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Father, I love you. Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for letting me preach tonight, God. And Lord, thank you for everybody that you brought out. Thank you for our visitors, Lord. And God, I pray that you bless them. And Lord, I pray that as we leave here that you might challenge our hearts. Lord, go with us, Father, Lord, as we start our day tomorrow, Father, Lord, that we might have you first and foremost in our lives and in our hearts and in our minds, God. And Lord, that you just help us to walk by faith, Lord, even when it's not easy, God, just to stand up for the righteousness of God and the testimony of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for salvation. Thank you for what you did at the cross to pay for our sins, Lord. And Father, I pray that you might just have your will and your way in our hearts and minds. Be pleased with what you find from us. Bring us back safely to the next appointed time where we can gather together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.